HubZero.org, a platform for scientific collaboration. You can follow along with this presentation by going to HubZero.org and downloading the corresponding slides. Enjoy the show.
All right, the first one is going to be using HubZero to distribute and enable analysis of Deepwater Horizon oil spill videos by Steve Worley and Christina Bros.
All right, thanks. So I'm going to tell you about a project that came up over the summer and that we've worked on heavily last fall. Got to a nice state. All right, so and obviously relates to the Deepwater Horizon, and it's a larger team than you'll see me this morning or this afternoon, and Christina Bros, who's an English professor, and then Derek, Chris, and Mike are ITAP guys who really put things together here. You know, Chris and I are just content people, and I think that'll be obvious as you as I go through this. I don't know a lot about the HubZero. I know a lot about the technical, the scientific end of things, and what we're trying to get done. All right. So starting last summer or last spring, actually the 1 year anniversary of Deepwater Horizon is coming up. Right, there's Deepwater Horizon. On April 20th, there was a blowout, right? The big news story last summer was the oil spill, the subsequent oil spill. There were videos posted about 3 weeks into the incident, and I'm showing the first video that was posted here. You might remember seeing this on the news. It was played everywhere and all the time. For a couple of days. And what you're looking at here is called the riser pipe. This is a long pipe that you see lying on the ocean floor. And you see crude oil coming out of it, and this white stuff on top, that's natural gas. So this was the at the request of many news agencies, BP made this video available. And it looks like a really poor video. I mean, if you look at it, this is a little display of various information that you would use to drive the ROV, and this should be sharp, and it's not. And what they did was they played the video back and re-recorded it, so it's not native resolution or anything. Nonetheless, the news media went crazy about it and started looking for people who could analyze the video. And just, I think, a fluke, I was contacted. So I happened to write a book on this, on a technique for extracting information from videos like this, extracting flow information. And basically, because my book was the first hit on Google, Richard Harris from National Public Radio called me up and asked me if I could do the same thing with these kind of videos. This relates to one of the tools that I'll show you in a few minutes, so I have to tell you a little bit more about the technical side of things. So what you're seeing here is a screen capture from this badly damaged video. And again, you see the riser pipe here lying on the ocean floor, and it's about 30 seconds long, this video, taken at 25 hertz, so there's nearly 1,000 frames. Wading through those 1,000 frames, I was able to find a couple that had useful, that were useful. And so what we're looking at here is, in the fluid mechanics business, called a turbulent coherent structure. If you're a layperson in this regard, you might call it a potato. You know, there's a tiny little puff of fluid that you see being ejected from the end of the pipe. And so we can think of that as a flow marker. It's a marker that's being carried with the oil flow. And if you can't make that out, and you know, I might need to ask for some suspension of disbelief at this point. If you can't make that out, I pointed an arrow to it, and you can see that arrow. You can see how far that moves. So if you know the size of the pipe or some other feature in the video. And you know the time between frames. Both of those were suspect in this initial video, but nonetheless, we did the best we could. You can calculate how fast the oil's coming out of this pipe. Right, so, and it turns out not to be terribly difficult to do that. And in fact, I've been doing that. That's sort of the core of my career for the last 15 years, probably. The process that I just showed you, you know, of looking at it with your eyes, that's very subjective. People tend to pick out structures that move fast. And so what I did then was plug these frames from the video into a program that we'd written over about the last decade. And the program is, it's called Particle Image Velocimetry, and what it does is make quantitative and, viewer bias independent, that process that I just explained to you of tracking flow structures. And you can see what you see right here is that computer code being run on these images and producing several independent measurements, six measurements. All right, so then you can do a little simple math, and I always like to show this. This is the level of the math that needs to be done. It's not terribly complicated. When I show you guys this, I'm sure that you agree it's not terribly complicated. Some audiences I show this to, and they're mystified. But basically, you're converting. You know, this is the distance the potato moved. Here's the size of the pipe in pixels. Here's the time between frames. And you work it all together, and you can figure out how fast the potato was moving. And you can figure out, follow it through, you can figure out how many barrels per day of oil were coming out of the pipe. So it's not terribly difficult. But nonetheless, what was missing from the discussion of these videos at the time was somebody who does this and can say, this is the right way to extract that information from the video. So this, the news media went crazy about this, and NPR was the one who broke the story. But then, later that day, hours after NPR aired this story, Anderson Cooper called up, and then the next day, all the rest of this happened. So, you know, things were crazy for a while. What this craziness led to was a loosening of the purse strings on the video feed. And in particular, all right, so I briefed Congress on this process of extracting, you know, calculating these this velocity information. And then worked with the day after I briefed Congress, the flow rate technical group was established. And between Congress, so Congress is one branch of the government, and then the flow rate technical group was under the administration. So these two branches of government were able to pry loose from BP a big pile of videos. More videos than we really wanted to look at, but nonetheless, we got the information that we needed in order to make a credible estimate of the, of this disaster. And by the way, I'd like to show this one. Here's Ken Salazar, Secretary of the Interior, and Stephen Chu, Secretary of Energy.
Did you say at the time, I think you had 70,000?
Yeah, that's right.
What was BP saying?
Yeah, 5,000. So, yeah, I didn't want to recap the whole thing, but there was an order of magnitude difference. And the thing that I, the point that I always, that I stressed when I talked about this, last summer was that 70,000 isn't the right answer, but 5,000 is definitely not the right answer. So the 70,000 is a rough estimate based on a very short video of very poor quality, and what it demonstrates is the need for, or what it demonstrated was the need for, for this group of people, the flow rate technical group. And so we worked all summer on this problem, and by the end of the summer, we had, I think, a fairly good understanding of what the flow was, we were able to pry free from BP. Better videos. Now, if you look at this video, you'll see that the letters are sharp, and you can see, you look at this, you can tell it's a sharp video. So this is native resolution. So we were able to get a lot of videos like this. In fact, there were something like 14 ROVs on site through the course of this 90-day. The flow was running. The oil was discharging into the Gulf for about 88 days. So you work the numbers on that. That's 30,000 hours of video. We've right now got about a week worth of video on our hub. And as we can, we're adding more. It's just challenging to, weed out duplicates and so forth. So anyhow, but we've got a good week of video on there. And then with better videos comes the ability to do better calculations. So if you compare this, this is now flow tracking of the oil based on the better videos. And, you know, I showed you on day one I had 6 vectors. So this is considerably more. You know, it's a higher resolution. With higher resolution videos, we're able to do better calculations. And I said we worked all summer on this, and at the end of the summer, came to the conclusion that 5 million barrels of oil spilled into the Gulf, which nobody knows what a barrel is. In the petroleum industry, a barrel is 42 gallons, so that's 200 million gallons and change of oil into the Gulf. So in the course of working with the government, we were able to come up, you know, as I said, we were able to get lots of videos, and we put those into this oil spill hub, and lots of support from the ITAP people at Purdue to get this done. And so Oil Spill Hub right now is a repository for those videos, and it has nice things like, you know, here is a timeline of, you know, this video corresponds to 2:29 p.m., this video corresponds to 2:33 p.m., and this is just one ROV. Right now we're thinking how to best display this information. I don't think we've got there yet. We haven't got the best display at this point, but we're working on it. And we've also developed some tools. So here is a tool that the ITAP people helped build. You know, they built it under, let's say, my suggestions. And what it allows you to do is analyze a video. So this is a video very similar to the one that I just showed you. You see the oil discharging into the ocean, and you see the user here is choosing to analyze that video. What you see here is the end of the riser pipe. This is you know, where the oil is discharging into the ocean. And what the user is doing now is telling you, this is basic photogrammetry, telling you how big something is in the picture. Right? So they're saying, okay, this feature called the flange is 1 meter across. And then you type in the 1 meter there. And then everything else in the picture, you know how big things are in pixels. Everything else in the picture is scaled according to this relationship, you know, this correspondence between pixels and real space. Now, the thing that's cool here is we can do this flow tracking. So if you identify a feature that you'd like to track, you'd like to watch it move downstream and figure out how fast the flow is going, you can mark it in one frame, and then you can step forward 1 or 2 or 10 or 100 frames and mark where that feature ended up. And then that difference, how far it's moved, is scaled according to the flange in this instance. And it will tell you how far things have moved. So what it does is it makes really easy the thing that that I wrestled with at the beginning of last summer. All right, so we use this hub for a number of things. And Professor Christina Bross is going to tell you how she used it in her class.
Yeah, I'm fairly out of my element here. I'm a professor of English and of American Studies. And I think I'm just going to show you a couple of slides and talk to you a little bit about a couple of experiments that we've done using the oil spill hub. We haven't really got our assessment completed. This is part of a class that I'm teaching right now. Here's the description. This is an American Studies undergraduate. It's a required class for the major. Oil and Water, Science, Literature, and Disaster. My area of expertise is American literature and culture, and I do study catastrophe and disasters, but in a historic perspective. So this is a little bit of a stretch for me as well. And I think the sort of takeaway for what I want to talk about is the possibilities for these kinds of tools and these kinds of websites to reach students and to reach faculty who you might not normally think of as potential partners in this kind of research. I've been really excited to be part of the Oil Spill group as I think the sole humanities representative in that group at Purdue, but they've been very welcoming. So the course is actually a class that's focused on the two Gulf disasters that have typically been twinned, Hurricane Katrina and the Deepwater Horizon, and there's problems with that twinning, but it's still an interesting critical take. And my students are doing some science through this hub. They're also looking primarily at cultural responses, aesthetic responses to the events. Two exercises that have come out of our work with the Oil Spill Hub are worth mentioning. First was an oil spill imaging roundtable. This was a session we did open to the public. My students were asked to come, and we had other students and faculty there. We had four faculty drawn from across the university. We had John Bickham, who's the director for the Center for Environment. He's a marine biologist specializing in toxicity of marine mammals and when they're in contact with oil. Lance Dierfard, who's in English, he's a film studies expert. In fact, he's been working on bad films right now, so he was perfect for this. Professor Steve Worley, mechanical engineering, and Fabian Winkler, who is in our visual and performing arts program. He is an electronic and time-based artist who works with engineers and scientists converting data into his art quite often. Our objectives were to use a common object of analysis. So what we did was we showed a 45-second video that's housed on the oil spill hub. We asked each of these faculty members to look at this video and then in very short presentations, about 5 minutes, to describe what they saw from their disciplinary perspectives. Steve sees he sees structures that he could measure. You know, I never see that. Fabian Winkler and Lance Dierfard, from their visual studies perspective, they see a potential icon, a potential iconographic image, and that's actually what we're working on as we go forward, because we think there's some new research to be done there. We have them each describe what they see and what their next steps would be. How would they research this piece of video that's been hosted by Purdue? And then we have them discuss in a round and with the audience members about what kinds of new knowledges come from this crossing of radically dissimilar disciplines that generally aren't in contact with one another. This just happened a couple weeks ago. I had even less of a voice than I have today. It was quite successful, and we are hoping to make it a model for future collaborations like this as we go into the future. The second thing was that in my undergraduate class, we gave them an oil hub assignment. So we asked them to imagine themselves to be the ROV driver of these videos. And they're going to go look at the accident site and at the pipe with the spill. We asked them to do three things. First, we said you come across the broken pipe disgorging tremendous amounts of oil. Do these calculations. Use the tool to see if you can determine how fast the flow is, and as an option, see if you can figure out how many barrels per day. And we asked them to do screen captures. So this is one of my students' assignments. This is his screen capture as he attempted to do this. Their calculations are kind of in the ballpark of the flow rate technical group. They're analyzing different parts of the videos, and so they're varying. But for the most part, this was a pretty straightforward exercise for them. And what we're hoping that they take away is kind of this idea that it's not always the most complicated procedures that are going to yield these good results in the scientific community. Second, we asked them to investigate the sunken ship. The ROVs actually moved around the sunken ship quite a bit. We asked them to see if they could find schemata online that would help them identify sections, and they did. And I'd say this is probably the part of the exercise that had the most impact for this group of students. Here's one passage from a response. The ocean environment surrounding the wrecked rig is very desolate. There are really no signs of wildlife. The entire video has an eerie feeling like investigating a tomb. The ROV footage is a creepy, disquieting reminder of the death of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig. As we're coming up in the anniversary, my students are trying to decide how to commemorate it, and I think that this investigation will help bring that anniversary home to them. And the last, and this is we're just trying to figure this out. This was
You want the pointer?
Pardon? Well, I could point. Right there, that's a tie, and there's a pair of safety goggles caught in some cable or rope in the wreckage.
It's really hard to see.
It's hard to see in this, but it's the first time we had seen it. My students are the ones who captured this. So again, brings the tragedy home. And finally, we asked them to drive their ROV around the scene of the disaster or to follow it as it drove and just log what happens. And this was video that nobody has spent time logging. And so they documented wildlife. They documented, you know, when they saw it, anything else that they saw. So it's a first pass and really a possible real contribution to the science of the oil spill hub. And that's my part of the presentation.
All right. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. Thanks.
Playing or likely to play a role in litigation?
Yeah, right. whenever I speak about this topic, I speak about things that I've already reported and limit conjecture. So, yes, I am working for the Department of Justice, and, have to be careful. So,
any other questions? All right.